Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, July 16th. Officials oppose nuclear waste storage. Andrews commissioners will sign resolution Tuesday opposing the high-level storage by Caitlin Randall. After hearing from Andrews County residents in packed meetings Thursday and on July 6th, commissioners voted unanimously to sign a resolution stating their opposition to the storage of high-level nuclear waste in the county. Dozens of residents spoke during the two meetings, with many expressing anger that waste control specialists, which currently operates a low-level waste site, have gone back on a promise that they would never seek to store high-level waste in Andrews County. WCS, in partnership with Interim Storage Partners, filed an application in 2016 to store high-level nuclear waste in Andrews County for 40 years before the waste would be moved to a permanent repository. That application is currently under review by the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Andrews County Judge Charlie Falcon noted before a vote was taken that a resolution from the Commissioner's Court would not necessarily affect the NRC's decision. If a resolution in opposition gets signed, that is not a guarantee from the United States government, he said. We would join Governor Greg Abbott, who is opposed to it. We would join August Pfluger, our U.S. representative, who has made comments that he is opposed to it. We as a court were the last to take a stance. Commissioner Kerry Pack of Precinct 1 made the motion to pass the resolution, saying that most of the comments he's received from constituents have been opposing high-level waste storage. Other commissioners echoed Pack's statement that most residents have said they oppose the project. Commissioner Janine Andereg of Precinct 3 said the court was feeling pressured to pass the resolution and said she felt they needed to support the wishes of their constituents. I think WCS has been an amazing partner for this county, but I've got to represent my constituents, Andereg said. WCS current Andrews site opened in 2012 for the storage of Class A, B, and C low-level radioactive waste. The NRC released a draft environmental impact statement in May of 2020 regarding the application to open a high-level waste site. In that report, NRC staff recommended approval of the WCS application, stating that the impact of constructing and operating a waste site at the proposed location was found to be minimal. A final environmental impact statement and a safety evaluation report were expected to be published in May of 2021, but were delayed because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The decision on whether to grant WCS a license would follow the release of those reports. Falcon said the Andrews County attorney would write the resolution opposing high-level waste storage, and it would be signed during the Commissioner's Court meeting next Tuesday. Annual Arts Festival is back. Celebration of the Arts will be at the Bush Convention Center by J.C. Lewis. The 37th Celebration of the Arts will be downtown this weekend at the Bush Convention Center. The preview party takes place Friday evening, and COA continues Saturday and Sunday. The Celebration of the Arts Festival is the longest-running annual event held in downtown. Arts Council of Midland Executive Director Danny Holiva said the festival will have a lot of the traditional items that are normally done, but that this year there was a tremendous response from visual artists. It gives people the opportunity to walk up to an artist and look at their work, possibly talk to the artist about their work and why they make it, Oliva said. Most of the artists are from Texas, New Mexico, and Oklahoma, but we have artists from Arizona, California, and New Jersey. He said more artists are taking the opportunity to travel and show or sell their art because there haven't been art festivals in Texas for the past 15 months, and many parts of the country are still not having festivals even now. The premiere party will feature glass-blowing demonstrations by Glasshopper, live entertainment by Alberto Madrid and Donny Diaz, hors d'oeuvres catered by Indulgence Catering, and a cash bar, silent auction, first dibs on more than 60 artist booths and artist conversations. Tickets are $80 for one or $75 each for two or more tickets. To purchase a sponsorship or tickets, visit acmidland.org/celebration-of-the-arts/. The exhibit hall opens on Saturday and Sunday. Admission is free, and COA will feature more than 60 artist booths. The celebration will feature artists from the local region and more than 10 states who are visiting for the festival. Booth offerings include fine painting, photography, ceramics, printmaking, watercolor, mixed media, jewelry, fine wood carving, textiles, bronze sculptures, and abstract work. The food truck court on Texas Avenue on Saturday and Sunday includes Pachuco Mobile Food Company, Saturday only, Texas Tap Company, with two Tall City Brewing Company beers on tap, Crystal's Crepes and Coffee, HTO, Blue Smoke Pit, Crafted Barbecue, Keats Sweets, Halo Pinos, Down South Seafood, Frank's Barbecue, and Ollie's Bakery. This year, we have over 20 arts nonprofits that will be in the lobby promoting themselves and selling tickets to events, he said. We have never had more than 10 or so organizations available for that. Art experiences on the weekend include Glasshopper's glass-blowing demonstration, the Studio Art Activity Station, artist demonstrations by Kayla Barker, Mark Schultz, and more, artist lectures with Q&A sessions by Maggie Walker, Richard Acosta and Tabata Ayup, Harlan the Balloon Man, face painting with Miss Sarah, University of Texas Permian Basin, Pots and Prints, and interactive dance sessions. Also, Ellen Newell Art Museum will have art activities and story time, Saturday only. Celebration of the Arts is the biggest fundraiser for the Arts Council of Midland. Last year, the Arts Council distributed $200,000 in funding. Need to know, schedule. Friday, 7 to 10 p.m., ticketed premiere party. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, noon to 5 p.m. Artists' artwork can be bought, and all the proceeds go toward the individual artists. Food trucks will be available Saturday and Sunday along Texas Avenue. Upcoming events: Midland AF, End of Summer Luau, 6 p.m. August 6th, Arts Council of Midland. Fall Pathways, to be announced, Sculpture Garden. Volunteer Awards and Grants for 2022, to be announced. Yoga in the Garden, to be scheduled in the fall. Camp Bow Wow Dog Daycare, now interviewing for campers, by J.C. Lewis. Camp Bow Wow is open and taking interviews for dog campers as of Thursday. Dog parents looking for dog daycare and boarding can check out the facility and have their dog go through a free interview process to see if the facility is a good fit. Manager Brittany Shipman said dogs have to pass the interview process to be able to attend day camp or be boarded. We need to make sure they are dog friendly, she said. The parent stays here for 30 minutes and can watch the interview process on the live cam TV. If they pass that initial part, then they stay here for 3 hours during the day or the whole day so staff can watch and make sure this is a good fit for the dog. After they pass, they can board or do daycare anytime. She said dogs have to have all the regular vaccinations as well as the vaccination for canine influenza. The facility is currently doing a grace period for canine influenza for up to 6 months because the vaccination is new. Dogs must also be spayed or neutered. Dogs will have a cabin test of 15 to 30 minutes where they stay while not playing. Cabins are where dogs do nap times, and if they are boarded, where they stay at night. Dog applicants will then interact with other dogs at the facility and experience a day of what camp is like. The facility separates the dogs by sizes. Camp Bow Wow also has special enrichment days where if a dog attends camp on a certain day, they can participate. They will be having a Water Park Wednesday enrichment day coming up where dogs can play in water. She said that the camp is great for dogs whose parents have had to go back to the office and the parents don't want to kennel their dogs. When dogs arrive, their leash is hung up on a hook with their name on it, and then they are put on a camp leash, and if the dog doesn't have a quick release collar, the camp will provide one to them for safety. The big thing is they get to interact with other dogs and play, which is the main thing, because maybe their dog is destructive or has separation anxiety, or the parents just feel bad leaving them in the house all day, she said. The facility is conveniently located 3 miles from the airport for dog parents needing to fly. It has 88 cabins, which come in 3 different sizes, that dogs stay in while taking naps or spending the night. Each cabin has a correlating bin that staff keep the dog's food, medicine, and any toys parents bring in them. Tags can be added to the bins to indicate allergies, special medications, or instructions, as well as if a certain dog didn't eat a meal and what to supplement in the next mealtime. Cabins also have a bed with a fleece provided for the dogs. The dog's information and picture will also be printed out and available on the cabin they are staying in. The cabins can fit up to 3 dogs in the same family, she said. There are family-sized, medium, and small cabins. I have 2 Heelers and a Great Pyrenees, so when they come here, they stay in the family-sized cabin. But if someone has 3 small dogs, they can stay in a smaller cabin. Each cabin has an escape-proof lock, and the cabin areas have gates to get into them so no dogs can get out to run around in the areas of the facility they aren't allowed to be. Dog cabins are separated by size, and dogs are only allowed to play with dogs of their size in dedicated play areas. The facility also has outdoor and indoor play areas. Play areas are outfitted with small obstacles and toys. The outdoor areas are shaded and secured with a high wall and mesh fencing. The dogs will use self-cleaning turf, which flushes out urine throughout the day. Play areas have a hose and sanitation station to ensure dogs are playing in a clean and safe environment. The facility will be outfitted with a generator, so if there is a power outage or bad weather, the building will continue to be powered. Day camp rates start at $25 for half a day and go up to $70 for a full day or for 3 dogs. Dog boarding rates are $60 for a standard cabin and go up to $125 for 3 dogs in a luxury suite. For a complete pricing list, visit the website. Grooming services will be available. Camp Bow Wow's counselors are certified in pet first aid and CPR. The facility allows dog parents to monitor their pups via live webcams from the convenience of their computer or smartphone. Some of the benefits dogs can experience at camp include regular exercise to maintain a healthy weight, relief from boredom, separation anxiety, and destructive behaviors, improved socialization with people and other dogs, and increase in overall happiness. Camp Bow Wow also supports the Bow Wow Buddies Foundations, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping sick and injured dogs, by funding urgent medical care and aiding with veterinary bills for serious conditions. The foundation works to provide medical care funds to individuals struggling to cover veterinary bills for serious ailments, and to shelters and rescue organizations that need assistance to cover necessary medical treatments for dogs awaiting adoption. According to their website, the foundation has raised $650,000 and helped more than 550 dogs. Shipman said during the holidays the facility will have photo opportunities for campers, and parents can choose to donate to the Bow Wow Buddies foundations. She said the facility will also plan on having other events. The facility will also work with local shelters and rescues to foster adoptable dogs. Foster dogs must meet the same requirements as other campers. Shipman said that foster dogs could stay here as temporary housing before finding their forever home, and the business would also promote the adoptable dogs. She added that they are unsure how many foster dogs the business would have at a time right now. More biz news. Altered State at the Commons, 2900 Loop 250 Frontage Road, closed as of June 24th, according to a note posted to the door by staff. Altered State is a fashion boutique that started in Knoxville, Tennessee, and expanded to more than 120 stores. According to the company's website, they give women a unique shopping experience full of fashion, faith, and giving back. Natural Grocers is officially bringing its long-standing charitable giving under one umbrella organization. The grocery store chain has formed the Natural Grocers Heroes in Aprons Fund. The nonprofit has two missions: to provide short-term financial assistance to the Good For You crew employees who experience unanticipated hardships, and to direct grants to Natural Grocers charity partners in the community. Bed Bath & Beyond is currently being remodeled at 3001 West Loop 250 North. The store is open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sunday during the remodel. Local crime briefs. Former MC professor sentenced for murder. A former Midland College professor was found guilty and sentenced to 38 years in prison Thursday for the murder of David Young in 2019, according to the Ector County District Attorney's Office. William Cliff Goble, 62, was convicted of shooting Young, 50, during a road rage incident on November 29, 2019. Young was shot in his driveway in the 1400 block of Spur Avenue in Odessa. Neighbors told local news outlets at the time that Goble had previously been upset that Young's son was riding through the neighborhood on a motorcycle. Before the incident, Goble was a department chair in health sciences at MC and was the associate professor for Midland ISD's Health Sciences Academy, which is a collaborative academy between MISD and MC. Jailer arrested on felony charges. A Midland County detention officer has been arrested for allegedly having child pornography on his phone and having sexual contact with two inmates. Juan Carlos Serna Venegas, 29, is being held in Midland County Jail on a third-degree felony charge of child pornography and two counts of sexual contact with an inmate, both state felonies. Bond for all charges has been set at $150,000. On July 6th, investigators with the Midland County Sheriff's Office were notified of an incident between two MCSO employees. The victim reported to investigators that Serna Venegas showed her a video of him and a woman having sex. She believed it was her. The victim stated she never gave Serna Venegas consent to record them. Serna Venegas allegedly told the victim he had an OnlyFans where he got paid to record himself having sex with women. The victim stated Serna Venegas insinuated that they should record a video and post it on his OnlyFans page. During the investigation, MCSO investigators found child pornography on his personal cell phone. Man charged with sexual assault. Paul Anthony Withrow, 33, was arrested Wednesday and charged with aggravated sexual assault of a child for allegedly raping a 13-year-old girl. The girl told forensic interviewers with the Midland Children's Advocacy Center that Withrow assaulted her during an incident on June 2nd while she was visiting his residence. Withrow is currently being held at the Midland County Detention Center. Bond had not been set as of Thursday afternoon. United Family donates toilet paper to WTFB by J.C. Lewis. The United Family donated 24,496 rolls of toilet paper to the West Texas Food Bank on Thursday at the Odessa Food Bank location. This donation is part of a larger donation of more than 200,000 rolls of toilet paper to food banks across Texas and New Mexico. As communities experienced toilet paper shortages due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the United Family was reminded of how important this necessity is for everyone. The donation represents more than $90,000 in value.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, July 16th, 2021. Odessan sentenced to 38 years for murder. Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan detailed a post on Facebook on Thursday afternoon that former Midland College professor William Goebel Jr. was found guilty of murder by an Ector County jury and sentenced to 38 years in prison. Goebel, 62, was indicted on one count of murder, a first-degree felony, by an Ector County grand jury on February 3, 2020. Court records show, Goebel has previously taught in the Health Sciences Department at Midland College. According to the Facebook post from Gallivan, Assistant District Attorneys Julie Prentice and Ricky Ernest presented an excellent case. Visiting Judge Tryon Lewis presided in the 161st District Court. The shooting happened at 2:36 p.m. November 29, 2019, in the 1400 block of Spur Avenue, an Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed. Officers were reportedly dispatched to a gunshot victim, identified as David Thomas Young, who was lying on the sidewalk in front of the driveway, unresponsive, and was bleeding from a gunshot wound to the chest. Goebel exited the front door of his residence in the 1400 block of Spur Avenue with his hands in the air, the affidavit stated. Witnesses identified Goebel as the person who shot Young. Young was unresponsive and not breathing. He was transported to Medical Center Hospital by Odessa Fire Rescue, where he was pronounced dead. A witness, identified as Jeffrey Thomas Young, stated that David Thomas Young was his father, and he arrived at Goebel's residence to discuss a prior altercation which involved Goebel almost striking Jeffrey Thomas Young as he rode by on his motorcycle, the affidavit detailed. Jeffrey Thomas Young stated the discussion became an argument and he saw Goebel pull out a handgun and fired one shot at his father, which struck him in the chest. Another witness, identified as Jose Navarrete Jr., was reportedly standing in his driveway, which was right next door to Goebel's residence, and saw David Thomas Young approach Goebel's residence. Navarrete stated as they were arguing that Young was standing at the end of the driveway on or near the sidewalk, and Goebel was standing just in front of his opened garage with his handgun drawn, the affidavit stated. Navarrete reportedly heard Young say, quote, "Let's call them then," end quote, and reached into his pocket and pulled out a cell phone. Navarrete stated that as Young pulled the cell phone out of his pocket, Goebel fired a single round from his handgun, which struck Young in the chest. Another witness, identified as Benjamin Allen Clapp, stated he was outside his house, which is two houses south of Goebel's residence, the affidavit stated. He saw Young approach Goebel's residence and walk in the front yard. Clapp reportedly told officers that as Young and Goebel argued, Young retreated back to the end of the driveway just a few steps from the sidewalk after Goebel drew his handgun. Clapp saw Young reach in his pocket and pull out a cell phone when Goebel fired a single shot, which struck Young in the chest. West Texas Food Bank. United Family donates over 26,000 rolls of toilet paper to West Texas Food Bank. On Thursday, the United Family donated 26,496 rolls of toilet paper to the West Texas Food Bank in Odessa. The donation is part of a larger donation of more than 200,000 rolls of toilet paper to food banks across Texas and New Mexico. Last year, communities saw toilet paper fly off the shelves due to the COVID-19 pandemic. They were reminded of how important this necessity is for everyone. The donation represents $90,000 in value. Quote, "During COVID, we sourced as much toilet paper as we could," end quote, United Family Regional Vice President John Jameson said. Quote, "There wasn't a shortage, but there was a panic. That's something that everybody needs, and we had quite a bit extra. We were able to donate to the West Texas Food Bank. We know that this will go to people that will really need it," end quote. It's not the first time that the United Family has made a big donation to the West Texas Food Bank. Quote, "United is such a great partner of the West Texas Food Bank," end quote, Craig Stoker, West Texas Food Bank Director of Marketing and Communications, said. Quote, "They've helped us stock our shelves and keep our pantries full for years. As far as food donations go, they're one of the top donors of the West Texas Food Bank. You look at donations like this, there are items that people may need but don't have the budget to shop for. So we're happy to have donations like this because it helps people extend their budgets so they can put more food on the table. We want to make sure that they're getting their families fed," end quote. Jameson said he was surprised by how much toilet paper they had to donate. Quote, "We love giving back to the communities that we serve," end quote, Jameson said. "We're here because of the communities, and any time we can give back, we love it because we love serving our community, and this is one great way to do it," end quote. The West Texas Food Bank was just one of 13 other food banks to receive a donation of toilet paper from the United Family. The other food banks receiving the donations included South Plains Food Bank in Lubbock, the High Plains Food Bank in Amarillo, Give Hope in Abilene, the Food Bank of West Central Texas in Abilene, Minnie's Food Pantry in Plano, Tarrant Area Food Bank in Fort Worth, the North Texas Food Bank in Plano, the Concho Valley Regional Food Bank in San Angelo, the Wichita Falls Area Food Bank, the Food Bank of Eastern New Mexico in Clovis, New Mexico, the Roadrunner Food Bank and Storehouse, New Mexico, both located in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Despite not being in short supply anymore, Jameson said that toilet paper is among one of the items that are harder to acquire for some people. Quote, "These items are harder to come by," end quote, Jameson said. Quote, "Paper towels, toilet paper, those are harder to get. You can't buy toilet paper with food stamps, so this will help those who can't buy toilet paper. We thought at least 26,000 individuals will be taken care of with this donation," end quote. Stoker says the donation will also help people put more of their grocery budget into food and not have to spend much on paper goods. Quote, "It's those kind of forward-thinking things that we're able to get through our warehouse that's not food but still something people need," end quote, Stoker said. Quote, "If you don't have to buy paper goods, that puts money back in your budget to get food back to your family. It helps people extend their budget, and that's our main goal," end quote. PSP announces $4 million commitment to Health Sciences Building. With a commitment of $4 million from the Permian Strategic Partnership, the Wood Health Sciences Building at Odessa College is within striking distance of its goal. The announcement was made in the Salisbury Campus Center at OC, with officials from the College, Board of Trustees, Medical Center Hospital, PSP, and other officials on hand, live and virtually. The Health Sciences Building, which breaks ground September 1st, will enclose 83,000 square feet on four floors and feature instruction and community space. It also will enable more students to enroll in the School of Health Sciences programs and healthcare continuing education programs, with an estimated 64% increase in graduates, a news release said. The cost of the building is about $40 million, and PSP's investment brings them to $37,621,500. Vice President of Advancement Jockey Gore said in a news conference Thursday at the Salisbury Campus Center at OC. Quote, "We set a goal about a year ago, which seemed maybe a little bit far-fetched, that we wanted to hit 90%. Last July, that seemed like kind of a crazy idea, probably," end quote, Gore said. Quote, "But our partners have joined along the way, knowing that healthcare needs are growing in the Permian Basin, and we were experiencing this pandemic that was really taxing healthcare needs, so it made it even more apparent," end quote. Gore added that PSP's investment is vital in helping OC construct the health sciences building. Quote, but more importantly, the 17 major oil and gas company leaders unanimously approved Odessa College's request for $4 million, end quote, Gore said. The endorsement will help open doors for other companies and partners as the college completes the Wood Health Sciences building, she said, and continue with its Vision 2030 construction projects. Quote, with PSP's $4 million investment, community partners have pledged to invest over $22.6 million in this project, end quote, Gore said. PSP President and CEO Tracy Bentley thanked everyone at OC for working so collaboratively on this investment. Quote, the PSP brings 17 leading Permian Basin energy companies to work in partnership with leaders across our communities to address current and future challenges. Our mission is to strengthen and improve the quality of life for Permian Basin families through partnerships to develop and implement strategic plans to foster access to quality health care, superior schools, safer roads, a trained workforce, and housing. As our region's population continues to grow, so does our need for quality health care, end quote, Bentley said. Quote, as we know, there are currently over 500 nursing vacancies in the Permian Basin, and this will have a significant impact on hospitals, doctor's offices, long-term health care facilities, home care, and schools. These ongoing vacancies lead to delayed procedures, closed doors at hospitals, and recruiting and relocation costs with low retention rate, just to name a few. Adding more nursing slots while providing enhanced training via space and state-of-the-art technology will increase the quality of instruction and access to care that we so desperately need. We value our strong relationship with Odessa College, and we are thankful for the leadership you provide in health care and many, many other things in our region. Odessa College is one of the shining stars of the Permian Basin, and we are honored to be part of this critical initiative and joining all of the other existing sponsors and supporters who share the goal of increasing access to top-notch health care in the Permian Basin, end quote, Bentley added. Julia Kiewit, PSP Director of Strategic Initiatives, said, in addition to the enhanced quality of student instruction that will be facilitated by the new building, PSP was very impressed by the placement and retention rates of graduates within the Permian Basin, which aligns with the group's goal of increasing access to the profession. OC President Gregory Williams said PSP sees this as an investment. Williams said OC can increase by 30 to 50% in many areas the number of students it serves so that more students are able to fill the gaps. Students will be able to complete half of their clinical requirements on campus. Programs on tap will be dental hygiene, respiratory therapy, health information management, EKG specialist, and more, Williams said. Gore noted that for anyone who would like to contribute, there will be naming opportunities for just about every square inch of the building. She noted that September 1st is the groundbreaking of the building, but also the kickoff of the 75th anniversary of OC. Quote, I think it's pretty amazing that you see how much the community understands that healthcare is a big deal, end quote, MCH CEO/President Russell Tippin said. Quote, COVID taught us a big lesson that you don't realize how big it is until you really need it. And the community support for this program and for what it's going to produce is pretty awesome to watch. I think that the sky's the limit on this, and it's going to produce a lot of needed nurses and healthcare providers, end quote. Chief Nursing Officer Kristen Timmons said the hospital has lost nurses to a mixture of COVID and normal attrition. Quote, we have some leaving the area, obviously with the oil field and things like that, coming and going. But I would say that we do have some that we are losing because they are taking travel assignments, or their families are now in a position that they can stay home instead of dealing with COVID continually. So it's an issue, end quote, Timmons said. Gore was excited that the goal has almost been achieved. Quote, I am so excited about today that this was a great day for Odessa College. We've worked closely with Permian Strategic Partnership over the last 2 years to get to this point, and I couldn't think of a better partnership, end quote, Gore said. Gore added that getting those 17 major oil and gas companies to unanimously approve the college's request to fund this project during a year where oil dropped below $0 is a huge feat. Bentley noted that access to quality healthcare professionals is one of the number one things that companies look at when they're trying to recruit and retain employees to the area. Quote, and so looking at Odessa's nursing program, knowing it's one of the top rated in our region already, the opportunity to expand this made perfect sense. We know that we already have over 500 nursing vacancies here in the Permian Basin. We also know that we're capable of filling those and possibly more with the program right here, Bentley said, end quote, Bentley said. She noted that PSP has played a role in expanding several healthcare programs in the basin. Asked about PSP's commitment bringing those health sciences building goals so close, Bentley said she didn't realize it until Gore told her. Quote, I didn't realize that we were that close, and today when Jackie told me, oh my gosh, it made my heart very, very warm to know that we are almost there. I also didn't realize, and Jackie explained to me, how important our $4 million is a number, and yes, it's important, but being able to leverage that to get across the finish line that makes this project even more special, end quote, Bentley said. Quick hits. West Texas Blowout Part 2. West Texas Blowout Part 2 has been scheduled for Saturday at the Midland County Horseshoe Amphitheater, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Featured entertainment will be presented by Little Joe Y. La Familia, AJ Castillo, Cumbia Kings, Javier Galvan, Jesu Grupo Fama, Chapas, and Meet and Greet with Chris Perez. Tickets are available at Midland Supermercado and Josie's Grill in Odessa. Sponsorships are available. For VIP tables, call 432-260-6590 or visit westtexasblowout.com. Free Kinder Camp. The University of Texas of the Permian Basin has scheduled a free First Five Kinder Camp for children in Ector and Midland counties who will be entering kindergarten in the fall. The Odessa camp registration deadline is Wednesday. The camp takes place from July 26th through the 30th. The Midland camp will take place Monday through Friday. Registration deadline took place July 14th. Children enrolled in Kinder Camp will learn as they adventure under the sea virtually and prepare to enter kindergarten. To register or more information, call 432-552-4025. Email first5@utpb.edu or visit First Five Permian Basin on Facebook. From Staff Reports. Obituaries. Carl Wayne Waters. Odessa. Carl Wayne Waters, age 74, passed from this life at his home in Odessa on Monday, July 12, 2021. He was born in Exeter, California on Tuesday, March 11, 1947, to the late Cheryl Marvin and Florence Ruth Buttry Waters. Carl was a lifelong peace officer with over 44 years of experience. 44 years of service. He lived to seek justice. He was currently a reserve deputy for the Ector County Sheriff Department and had recently retired from service as Constable of Precinct 1. Those left to cherish his love and memory are the love of his life, Sassy of Hobbs, New Mexico, two sons, Wayne Waters and wife Malia of Odessa, and Daniel Waters and wife Nancy of Camp Wood, Texas. Three daughters, Chris Hafer and husband Keith of Odessa, Shelley Falcon and husband David of Montel, Texas, and Allie Waters and husband Justin of Melissa, Texas. Grandchildren, Carly, Terry, and husband Jared, Megan Young and husband Eric, Abby DeLeon and husband Edgar, Cress Falcon, Shania Falcon, Preston Waters and Ozzy Waters and husband David. Great-grandchildren, J.J. Terry, J.C. Terry, Briley Allen, and Isla Dale DeLeon. Brother George Waters and wife Penny of Fort Davis, Texas. His brother from another mother, Mike Griffiths, and wife Allison. Numerous nieces and nephews and countless friends. He is preceded in death by his parents, Short and Ruth Waters, and his beloved four-legged companion, Bandy. Memorial services will be held on Saturday, July 17, 2021, at 2 o'clock p.m. at Northside Baptist Church, officiated by Reverend Clydell Chapman. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent at acreswestfuneral.com. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to Justin Cowboy Crisis Fund or Big Bend Area Law Enforcement Association Memorial. Hazel Parks, Midland. Hazel Parks was born July 8, 1936 in Blossom, Texas, to Mac and Willie Bell Stafford. Hazel passed away peacefully Saturday, July 10, 2021, with the spirit of her children by her side. She leaves to cherish her memory her sons, George D. Parks Jr., Janice, of Odessa, Reginald Parks and Gregory Parks, Amy, of Midland, Eric Parks, Betty, of Frisco, Texas. She leaves 17 grandchildren, Danny, Alex, Jacob, Timothy, Corey, Cynthia, Latoya, Ian, Josh, Courtney, Nicole, Lauren, Aaron, Misty, Derek, Brian, Tony, and Tracy. 21 great-grandchildren and a host of niece and nephews and friends. The family will receive guests from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m., Friday, July 16, 2021, at Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be Saturday, July 17th at 9 o'clock a.m. at Alexander Temple, COGIC, 200 North Tyler, Midland, Texas. Burial will be in Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Donald Peters, Odessa. Donald Peters, age 64, of Odessa, Texas, passed from this life on Thursday, July 8, 2021. He was born on Tuesday, October 9, 1956, in Natick, Massachusetts, to Beverly and Melvin Peters. He married Denise Riggs on May 3, 2013. Those left to cherish his love and memories are his wife, Denise, sons, Stephen Peters, Robert Peters, and Cody Davis, daughters, Jasmine Peters, Kaela Flood Peters and Amanda Tull, sister Kelly Mercury and grandchildren, Peyton Peters, Ella Peters, Stephen Peters II, Victoria Davis, and Reagan Bam. A memorial service is scheduled for Thursday, July 15, 2021 at 2 o'clock p.m. at Acres West Funeral Chapel. The family request, in lieu of flowers, donations be made to Vietnam Memorial. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Death Notices. Odessa. David Paul Davy Friels, 49, of Odessa, died Thursday, July 2, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of Life will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, July 17, 2021, at Sherwood Church of Christ, 4900 North Dixie Boulevard, Odessa, Texas. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Odessa. Aaron Glenn Millar, 54, of Odessa, died Tuesday, July 6, 2021, in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 10:30 a.m., July 17, 2021, at Sherwood Church of Christ, 4900 North Dixie Boulevard, Odessa, Texas. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, July 13, 2021. New Principal. Photo by Eli Hartman, Odessa American. The new principal of Ireland Elementary School, Noe Ortiz, poses for a photo Thursday morning in the foyer of Ireland Elementary. New Ireland principal excited about new start. By Ruth Campbell. R. Campbell at OAOA.com. Noe Ortiz started off as a scientist, but turned his attention to education and is now the new principal of Ireland Elementary School. Ortiz replaces Katie Ochoa. He had been an assistant principal at Crockett Middle School. Before that, he lived in Austin, having moved there after graduating from the University of Texas Permian Basin in 2000. He majored in Spanish and minored in biology at UTPB and earned a master's in educational leadership from Concordia University in Austin. Ortiz, who grew up in Kermit, started his career as a microbiologist at the state lab in Austin. Ortiz said he worked his way through all the departments at the state lab, and it was a great experience. He worked there for about 4 years, and one of his best friends at the time was going through the alternative certification program through Region 13 Education Service Center. That planted a bug in Ortiz's ear. I started investigating, and I thought that's something that I might want to do. I have a strong math and science background, he added. Ortiz finished his alternative certification and started teaching at Baghdad Elementary School in Leander, Texas. It was a great experience. It was a Title I campus, bilingual, obviously. I was there for a few years, and then I moved on to Westside Elementary, which was in Cedar Park, he said. Ortiz then became an instructional coach. I think that's kind of where my pathway to leadership started. I was their instructional coach there for about another 4 years, and then I made a move, and I moved to Pflugerville Independent School District, where I began off there as kind of another level up as an instructional specialist for the dual language program. I did that for 2 years, and during that time, I was able to work with about 11 different campuses in the district and really fell in love with one of the elementary campuses there. That was Palmer Lane Elementary. I still talk to them quite frequently, Ortiz said. He added that he built strong relationships with the team there at the time. I really made the effort to go in and help teachers out, so when this position for AP, assistant principal, came up, all the teachers knew me, so it wasn't this new person coming in. They knew me as the dual language specialist, but more than that, the person that came in to meet with all teachers, not just with the bilingual teachers, so it was a good fit for me there. I was an assistant principal there for 3 years, and then after that, there was an opportunity for me to move closer to home. My family's here, my parents, my siblings. My brother went to UT Law School and still made his way back home to West Texas, Ortiz said. They say there's something that brings people back. I don't know what it is, but I think it's definitely true. I have two sisters here. Both went to college and stayed here, and Ms. Maribel Aranda gave me my opportunity to come here and start off at Crockett Middle School, he added. Again, 2 great years of experience that I would have never had, Ortiz said. Aranda lauded Ortiz for his hard work and ability to communicate with parents and staff. He is willing to try new things if those things are for the betterment of the students. He will be a great asset to Ireland as he is caring, hard worker, and willing to get in the trenches with the staff. They will make a great team, Aranda said in an email. Ortiz arrived at Crockett with tons of elementary experience, and being a principal was something he always saw himself becoming. I feel like you can make such an impact with just what you say and what you do, what you model every day at your school, Ortiz said. At the time of this interview, Ortiz had only been on the job for a few weeks. It's been just a great experience. I know that everybody is here for the right reasons. The staff that I've met so far have been phenomenal. Very, very open to changes that need to happen here at Ireland. We want to go from good to great, and that's what I'm here to help support the campus with, he said. If all goes well, Ortiz said they will start the year fully staffed. We've had the good opportunity to have Odessa Pathway teachers in here interviewing. I think that's been a great thing for Odessa to start that program with. With those teachers, we had the opportunity to visit teachers at Nimitz and San Jacinto and Wilson and Young. That's where most of our interviews come from, so they're already familiar with the district. They're familiar with some of the district practices. I know this cohort, at least the teachers that we've spoken to, started in June, but they've already been given a heavy dose of what the expectations are for ECISD. They came in with some of the vocabulary and some of the expected practices, the non-negotiables that we expect. So it's been really good, he added. Ortiz said he's expecting about 500 students this year in grades pre-kindergarten through 5. They had about 475 last year. He has a staff of about 40. Having taught fourth grade, he never passes up an opportunity to teach in a classroom. I'm not one who shies away from modeling a lesson or providing some instruction for students. In fact, this past year, everything with COVID and that slide, I presented the opportunity to my principal and to my sixth grade team to let me tutor some of the kids during lunchtime. Some of the sixth graders and I got to do that for about 2 months. And then we went on break, and then, of course, after that, it's 100 miles an hour. But it was great. I had about 20 students in my classes during those 2 months, and just going over skills that they needed, which was great for me. I don't know how they felt about it, because it was their lunch period, but they got to eat and learn at the same time. But it was good for me. I really liked that. That's where I felt like I missed the classroom, Ortiz said. One of his goals for Ireland, after speaking to some of the staff members, is more parental involvement. COVID really had a huge impact on that, just like on every campus. But I'm feeling that maybe this was a campus where parents were invited to be and were happy to be involved with. So that's one of the big things that they said they would like to see back. PTO was something that kind of went away for a little bit. They really want that back. And we have already started having discussions on how we can start bringing parents back, Ortiz said. Of course, academics is one of those big issues that we want to move out of the category that we're in right now. And I think the source for it is the family feeling here, the family unit. It's still here, he said. COVID didn't impact that teachers are still close. They still want to continue to work together, but at a closer level, he added. The last time state accountability standards were taken, Ireland was an F, Ortiz said. The MAP, Measure of Academic Progress, scores have shown a lot of progress for the upper grades, 3rd through 5th, Ortiz said. He added that because of the type of test it was, for younger students it was probably not going to go well the first time, because they're not used to sitting in one place, quote, and trying to take a test for a certain amount of minutes. But the scores definitely have shown that we're on an upward trend, end quote. He added that practice star scores show the campus would be out of the F rating. Ortiz said he doesn't come from a long line of educators, but his father was thrilled when he decided to become a teacher. He had always wanted to be a teacher, but nothing about microbiology was interesting to him. In fact, during that time, I kind of let them know that I wanted to be part of the forensics department there in Austin, but that didn't get a rise out of them. But the moment that he found out that I was going to be a teacher, he was just super excited about that, Ortiz said. And speaking of that sentiment, he added that he is super excited to be at Ireland. Quote, being a principal is one of my goals, and I'm glad that I got to help accomplish that goal here close to home, close to family, and back in Odessa. Like I said, I don't know what it is that brings you back here, but I'm back and super excited to start this year, Ortiz added. On the net, HectorCountyISD.org/Ireland.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, June 12, 2021. What's our top post-pandemic priority? That conversation will begin soon. Stuart Doreen, sdoreen@hearstmp.com. It appears we are coming out of COVID. So what now? What is your priority for our community in a post-COVID Midland? Those are the questions the Reporter-Telegram asked people in the community, leaders in business, nonprofits, the church, and other organizations. We will begin running those this week. I personally look forward to reading what they write. Because the pandemic provided an opportunity to hit the reset button when it comes to creating a better Midland. And now that life is opening back up, we have a chance to create new habits, new attitudes, and think about what is important right now and in the future, not 18 to 24 months ago. We can all use a chance to hit the reset button. I can't help but think that the time away provided us a chance to look inward, determine areas we could improve, and be that person who treats his or her neighbor like he or she wants to be treated. You may read a message from some that call on Midlanders to be introspective. You might hear from others who determine the community's priority is related to government or topics like health care or infrastructure. And it would be hard to disagree that we need better roads or hospitals. But again, what is that top priority? Either way, the expectation here, we will provide thought-provoking material that will challenge the rest of us to be better, to be more involved, and to see what the possibilities are for Midland post-pandemic. We are in the middle of the summer, but as we have been reading, there are people positioning themselves to be part of elections in November and beyond. There will be competitive races, and in each case, those people will have specific agendas for a better city or county. Are those people's values consistent with community leaders in a post-pandemic Midland? Are they consistent with yours? One reason for those stories of opinion articles is because the Reporter-Telegram is a place to have the conversations needed. We know you won't always agree with what you read, but that's okay. We are just pleased that we have provided content that makes you think. What are the top priorities for our community moving forward? We will start that conversation this week.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.